Our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a shame, because in our text for today, they leave out the best part of the text. So I'm going to read that to you. So you heard the whole part about where he said to them, Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. But this is the part they left out. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition. Then he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that if anyone tells father or mother, whatever support you have from me is korban, that is, an offering to God, then you no longer permit doing anything for father or mother, thus making void the word of God through your tradition that you have handed on. And you do many things like this. So korban, just so you can understand a little bit, korban was, see, part of the commandment was that in your old age, your parents' old age, you were supposed to take care of them, right? Just like today. Or at least put them in a nice nursing home somewhere, right? But what they would do, what some folks would do as part of the tradition, is they would say, well, what I have has to go to the temple. Whatever I spend on you, that is got my offering to God. So it's sort of like shifting money around for the sake of tradition to avoid having to take care of your parents. So Jesus hoists the Pharisees up by their own petards when he finds them accusing he and the disciples of not following the tradition of washing their hands. Now, kids, wash your hands. Because washing the hands, of course, is not really the point of what Jesus has to say. He's looking at tradition, how it's used, what it means, and what it will bring in terms of helping us forge a deeper relationship with God and with one another. But often, traditions can begin to get in the way. So when Jesus argues with the Pharisees, they don't really argue the tradition. They just want to know by whose authority Jesus argues against the traditions. It's really important, because often traditions are more about authority than anything else. All right, I've done this for a long time, so it's time. As long as, you know, the service has already been a shambles. It's one of our traditions, right? We have very tightly controlled, well-ordered worship. And when it gets out of sorts, we just sort of go, ah! So this is your chance. What is one of the traditions? I just name a tradition within the church. You don't have to say it's a good tradition or a bad tradition. We'll leave that for another time. Council meeting. Carolyn, why am I surprised? Yeah. Wearing robes, yeah. Wearing robes, there's a tradition, and some churches have given up on that tradition, especially in Hawaii. Why have they given up on tradition? Because it's too bloody hot to wear a robe. Unless, of course, you have air conditioning. Thank you, Jesus. But why did we wear robes in the first place? Any idea? Yes, Pastor.
To neutralize the rich from the poor.
Exactly. Right. It neutralizes the rich from the poor. It puts everybody in the same place. As a matter of fact, the first Sunday the choir was back. They were all sitting in here and they said, shall we robe or shall we not robe? And Bill looked at the ratty t-shirt and shorts he was wearing and said, I think we should robe. Every tradition has a root, right? Yeah, another tradition. Yes. Pews.
Hard pews.
That's a good tradition. Keeps you all from falling asleep because you're in so much pain during the sermon. You know, so right, so what do we do? Now we have a new tradition. We have cushions, right? These are a tradition now, right? A good tradition. Pews. Yeah, we had a lovely Facebook exchange about pews because the pews, this is a matter of pastoral authority. I looked it up in the Book of Concord. The pews and the tradition thereof are the responsibility of the pastor. Turns out, you probably didn't know that. You can look it up. Find it somewhere in the Book of Concord. The pews are going away. Why? Why should that tradition go away? Thank you. It's not because of any, like, incredible theological thing. It's just that they're falling apart. Right? Yeah. So that's another, but the other thing that it does, right? It's another equalization thing. Everybody's on the same level. We keep you all in nice straight lines. And it avoids any undue creativity in worship. One last tradition. Candles. Why? Let's talk about candles. Where's Linda Miller? Yeah, there she is. For a long time, Linda told me, this is a candle. Why? It's beeswax. And then she told me this was not a candle. Because it's plastic. So then we had a little talk about what was more traditional. Some of them heated. And I said, well, it turns out, what's older, wax candles or oil lamps? Thank you. Don't ever say that I don't follow tradition. I certainly do. This is much... Yeah, I know. There you go. Actually, what she found out was that the nylon candles don't do this in the middle of summer, right? It made so much more sense, right? So the other day I was having a conversation with someone about the organ, and I won't name him, Larry, but we were talking about the organ, and he was talking how wonderful the tradition of the organ was, and how when Scott walked in with his guitar one day, he was a little nervous about it. And in a rare moment of self-control, I didn't say, well, I was so excited to have a musician bring such an ancient and traditional instrument that predates the organ by 2,000 years into the church, the guitar. Way before organs, people played guitars. Tradition. And we hold so many traditions dear to the point of our own destruction. And it's, don't get me wrong, there are so many wonderful traditions, powerful traditions. You see, traditions become and have a life of their own, though. And what Jesus begins to help us understand is that when the tradition becomes the point, when the tradition becomes that which we will fight for rather than the gospel, something is wrong. Too often traditions about diet or how we do things or what worship we use are more about habit than anything else. We all know stories about, you know, things in churches where traditions were done for years that nobody has any idea why. How did that come about? We just don't know how we turn pages or where we start our liturgy or, you know, if it's okay for the choir to start over there. Should they always start over there? Should they robe? All of those traditions have roots that oftentimes we forget. That the sign of washing of hands was not just about the habit of doing it so that you can honor yourself, but it was a way to remember the holiness of food as a gift from God. Traditions become self-serving, not God-serving. So Jesus says, related to the dietary laws, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles. It's your practice. It's what comes out that defiles. Traditions, you see, in the end, are really markers that remind us who and whose we are. And often those traditions we connect to something in particular, whether it's candles or an organ or robes. We make a connection so that it has meaning for us, and then we set it in stone. But then the next generation comes, and the next generation, and they don't know what the stone is for. Sometimes our traditions no longer speak to new generations. Not only because we don't hand them on properly, I think that's part of it. We don't delve deeply into why it is that we have candles on the altar to remind us of you are the light of the world. Why we have this candle in the back that is the presence candle or the paschal candle that reminds us of God's Spirit present in a particular way. It's not just that we don't pass them on, but also that sometimes traditions have lost their meaning. And when new ones begin to develop, there is no more fun in the church than when you try to introduce new traditions. What are you talking about? And then, of course, the epitaph of every dying church. We have never done it that way. To which the correct response is, and you never will again, will you? When our traditions rule us, God no longer rules us. The best traditions we can have are the ones that point to God's love and care for us and for the world. The best traditions, and that's hard, because other traditions we can deal with, right? It's not, you know, when we talk about God's love, it's kind of ethereal, it's out there, it's not something that we can grasp a hold of and say, look, this is how we do it. But that's the best tradition of all, and that's why the Pharisees and the disciples struggle so much with Jesus. Because the traditions that he seeks for us and draws us to are traditions of love. And although we connect our traditions to things to help us remember, love is much harder to connect. But we do. We connect our traditions to things, and I think we connect that tradition of God's love to some very specific things. And bread. They are traditions. They are traditions that we connect with this God who gave his only son to die that we might live. There's a tradition worthy of passing on generation to generation. But does it matter in the end whether you use leavened bread or unleavened bread? If you really want to make some churches upset, stop using wafers. Because everyone knows that Jesus and the disciples used wafers. Printed with little crosses made by nuns in Iowa. Or change the wine. One of these Sundays you're going to come in and we're going to use white wine. And all of you... blasphemy! see that? But does white wine convey God's love any less effectively than port wine? Or water in the font? Another place where God's love connects in tradition. And does it matter whether we pour or dip or dunk? Or should we really be traditional? And I'm all in favor of this and install a jacuzzi right here so that we can get you properly wet in the traditional way. No. The traditions which come into our mouths don't matter. It is God's love coming out of our mouth that is powerful. It is God's message of forgiveness and grace lived out every day, as James says, in our very fiber of our being, with our hands and our feet and our mouths and our community. Tradition will not transform us. It will help us to understand more deeply what God is about. Tradition can be a powerful tool for teaching and for drawing us deeper into God. But it is not God, and it is not love. It is only in recognizing God's abiding presence and living that presence out and pointing to it with water and wine and bread and music and prayer that we will truly understand what it is to be God's people. And lastly, to be open to new traditions. I know this is hard to take, but I've got to leave you with it. Things are changing. And you may not like it. You may not like pew chairs. You may not like traditions that young people are bringing us, like music. Oh, Scott. A barbershop quartet in worship at Lutheran Church of Honolulu. Please, God, do not cave the roof in. But change is in the wind. A new generation, a new life. And God is as much at work in that as in Ein Festeberg. Amen.